You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. It is Tuesday, the 21st of March. Welcome to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day with you for the next 2 hours. Joined in the studio by Andres Gallardo and making an appearance live in the flesh, Rex Leyland, but we'll come on to that in a minute. We'll come on to the steady, damn boy, come on to that in a minute, with you for the next 2 hours. If you have anything you want to get off your chest, always live, always lively, and these are the numbers you can get in contact with us today.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And a variety of subjects we're getting on with today, including Rotten Met and the trial of Boris Johnson begins. Let's have a look at the front pages in the UK today before we get cracking on today's show. Rotten Met has lost public faith, it says the front page of the Times. It highlights the conclusion of Baroness Casey, who conducted her review of the force following the abduction, rape and murder of Sarah Everard by a serving officer. That Scotland Yard can no longer be trusted to police itself. Daily Telegraph's headline is Met Police is racist, sexist and broken. It describes the report as damning, saying the public are being let down. The paper's leader column points out that over the years the force has been on the receiving end of a number of damning assessments, but it states that this review is arguably, nor more excruciating than anything that has gone before, not least because it seems that nothing has been learned. Daily Mail's headline of the story is Broken and Rotten. It describes that Baroness Casey's conclusions are shattering, stating that their publication represents the last chance to drag the Met out of the gutter. In its leader column, The Sun argues that rebuilding this broken force looks like climbing Everest in flip-flops. It believes that if the problems are too vast, the Met must be broken up into more manageable units. And it has a hunch that policing would be much better if such a course were taken. Under the headline, Last Chance Buffoon, the Daily Mirror looks ahead to the appearance tomorrow by Boris Johnson before MPs Hall, investigating claims that he lied about lockdown parties at Downing Street. The paper's opinion column suggests that even though Mr. Johnson insists he did nothing wrong, he will be quaking because he faces what it calls the most humiliating fall from grace of any ex-PM in history. the eye, which also leads on the Partygate inquiry, believes Mr. Johnson will be preparing to mount a robust defence. It also predicts that he will make what it calls an extraordinary political comeback if he is eventually cleared. Those headlines again today, then. Obviously, they are dominated by the Met Police report. Damning, this is the Metro, damning verdict on the Met. Misogynists, homophobes and racists. Daily Express condemned public's loss of faith in police. The Mail, broken and rotten. The Times, rotten Met has lost public faith. Meanwhile, the Mirror, toast, he soon will be. Last chance buffoon, Johnson hopes to salvage career with dodgy dossier on how to define a party. Meanwhile, the Telegraph, Met police is racist, sexist and broken. The Eye, the trial of Boris Johnson begins as ex-PM plots his comeback. The Financial Times talks about Credit Suisse. Shotgun married of Credit Suisse and UBS stirs bondholders' anger. Also, DUP, opposition to Brexit agreement, raises prospect of new Tory rebellion. The Sun goes on. Story of half of UK's roads are crumbling as a new report has shown fewer potholes are being fixed. And finally, the Star, Daily Star's front page leads on feather the scumbag seagulls attacking people as they eat food such as chips, ice creams and battered sausages outdoors. Feathered scumbags are at it again. And those are your, I know, those are your headlines. This Tuesday, the 21st of March. You want to get involved with today's show? Then here we go.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on plus 34 645 9967 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And before I bring my guests on today, a bit of poetry for you. And thank you, Gary, for sending in the following. I, for one, shall be going to the bakery. No one to your show. No listening to your show and all that snowflakery. For me, it's all a load of jiggery pokery, soft soap and rubbish and radio wokery. So thank you, Gary, for that one. That sounds more poetic than what a load of cobblers. Thank you, Gary, for that. The bard of the Costa Cells. Delighted to be joining me live in the studio today. Andres Gallardo, good morning to you, Andres.
Good morning, Giles.
Sorry, just let me turn you down a bit there. You absolutely blew the speakers.
Oh, wow.
That was interesting. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Indeed.
It's good to be here.
And making an appearance, not on his boat, but live in the flesh in Spain. Good morning to you, Rex.
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, Spain.
Good to have you with us. How are you, dear fellow?
Very good. Lovely to be back on the Costa. The weather is divine. Yeah. Divine, divine. Loving it. And it's just so wonderful to be back in the Spanish atmosphere yeah. with friends. I'm not going to say sangria because yeah. I don't drink it, but yeah. you know what I mean.
Yes, indeed. Well, good to have you with us, indeed.
Talk Radio Europe. Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And it's live to lines we go. Morning, Cooley, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, hello. Good morning. Morning, Giles. My name's Nigel B. from Camposol in Mataron.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
All right, thank you. Yeah. It's been on my mind for days, so I'm going to have a say about our friend Boris. Is there such a charge of treason these days?
Treason? Why do you think treason?
Well, he's told so many lies, you know, for the whole thing from Brexit onwards. So I just thought it's very treacherous.
I mean, we have this tomorrow. He's going to be making this appearance in front of Parliament. You know, they're saying that he could have saying he's going to say that he did not knowingly mislead Parliament about Partygate, defining what a party is. What do you think on this one then?
Well, you know, if you're drinking and there's so few people there, it's a party, isn't it? That's it.
So what I mean, what do you think the outcome might be then?
It might be that he'll be covered up by the rest of his gang, but he shouldn't be allowed to remain as an MP, should he? So that's it.
Okay, so thank you for that call in. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
You shouldn't be allowed to.
Hello, caller. Morning, caller.
Morning, Kate.
Good morning. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Right, fine. Two things. One on Boris, your first caller in your last, was absolutely right. There ought to be a consideration of treason. He's degraded the reputation of the British in every part of the world's wake. You know, from his lies about the EU, even before he ever became Foreign Secretary, who, I've forgotten which person misguidedly put him into that position. He invented the scandal of the no curvy bananas or whatever it was. My younger brother was working in the London Borough, and he could quote me chapter and verse on each of the lies that Boris was peddling. He deserves as much insults, wrong word, disgrace as he can get. He has not done Britain any good in all of his thing. And he got into being the Mayor of London by a straight deal with the Evening Standard,
right,
who kept publicising on their billboards, you know, scandals about Ken Livingstone, who everyone who worked for him said was, you know, he may be red, but he's very good and honourable.
Right.
And the Evening Standard's billboards, I happened to be in London for two of the election things for the Mayor of London, and it was all scandal about Ken. That's why Boris got in twice. That's Boris. Now, your other issue is I happen to have two stepsons who worked for the Met.
Right.
Okay. So I would regard that, and what they told me privately was that it was more misogynist and racist and over Masonic than they liked.
Over Masonic, okay.
Pardon?
Over Masonic, okay. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, it was believed by those who weren't members of the Masons to be overrun by Masons. Now, that's almost certainly changed since the Masons have become more public.
Right.
And as opposed to being a private and secretive organisation.
Yes.
But they both, people about my age, no, younger, they would be now in their 60s, thought that the Met was too misogynist and too racist. But they didn't say everyone was. And what I don't like about this line that's being published is that it implies that it's totally run through in the whole of the system. I'm talking about the Met.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Thank you very
and
much.
It's a bit like the stuff that when the anti-Corbyn within the Labour Party were talking about him being anti-Semitic. Those people who knew Corbyn, a person less anti-Semitic.
Okay, you seem to be breaking up on that. Thank you very much, Kate, for that one. There's something going on there. Rex, you came in with something, but I missed you on the microphone. You were saying...
No, okay. She said too Masonic.
Yeah.
I think she's referring to the Masons,
who used to be quite prevalent
in the police.
Indeed.
One has to only look at that TV series Gold, and you'll see that the Masons featured quite well in the police force.
Indeed. Okay, well, that's okay, in line of duty and whatever else. Right then, what we have here is... So we've got some comments on overrun by Masons. The very first, I sound like Zulu.
It's not cool.
Anyway, let's move on from that one. Let's have a look at some of the comments coming in then already. Select committee, morning to you, Richard. Morning to indeed. Nothing is ever learned when lessons are dished out to be learned. The select committee have zero power. Nothing will happen. Kate assumes that Britain was not at rock bottom already before Boris Johnson degraded it. That's not the reason that Bodger became mayor. He got him because people liked the clown on the telly. Meanwhile, morning, Hugo Cookie. Boris Johnson, Bojo the Clown, he did mislead Parliament. Also, Matt Hancock lied. Seeing what else is coming in on that one. So, Johnson has got a 50-page dossier released by his legal team, expected to be released this afternoon, which says to include WhatsApp messages, the famous WhatsApp messages that will say that Johnson was acting on the advice of officials when he says that we told the Commons that rules were followed at all times at Downing Street during COVID lockdowns. He's also going to portray the inquiry as biased and politically motivated. So he's almost sort of doubling down on this one. What do we think, panel?
Well, Johnson. Oh my God. The funny thing about Johnson is that he started lying with Brexit. As a result of that, he won a general election by a landslide. So someone out there likes Johnson, and there's a lot of them who like him. He's lied to Parliament, that is evident, and he's going to come out of that quite happily. Nothing's going to happen. He will continue to be there, and it appears he wants to relaunch his aspirations to become a prime minister yet again. So we are getting accustomed to politicians lying to us, and the public out there continue to vote for them. That's what puzzles me, why that can happen. The end result is that while we're talking about the party gate and we're talking about all those things, governments don't seem to be doing what they should be doing, which is to tackle the problems that we have in society. I mean, in the UK, you have a massive crisis in the NHS. Nobody seems to be tackling that. You've got institutional racism in the Met Police, which has been happening for years, ever since I moved to the UK. I remember that they were talking about that and nothing has been done, nothing's been improved, things continue to be the same. So we go on and on and on. That's what we got on the table at the moment.
Well, my real opinion is that I think we should move on. If Boris is guilty, he's guilty. What happened at Partygate happened. We, the world, were gifted by the Chinese the most dreadful pandemic, and we have all suffered immensely as a result of that. I think what happened during that time happened for whatever reason. And I do believe it's time to move on and leave everybody alone, get on running the country. Don't focus on the past, focus on the future. Because quite honestly, I am absolutely fed up with Partygate, Boris, whatever it is. Boris Johnson was given a huge mandate. Boris Johnson was a very good mayor. Boris Johnson was elected as leader of the Conservative Party. He was given all the opportunities with Brexit, but sadly, he didn't implement it. And as a result, And I, as you all know, am a great Brexiteer.
Mm.
I think that we've lost that opportunity, and it was lost because it wasn't delivered correctly. We were promised things, but it hasn't been delivered correctly, and I feel very angry and very bitter about it.
You can understand, though, why people are going to say, well, we shouldn't move on to this, because people were dying in care homes. People were not allowed to see and say goodbye to family and friends who passed away during the pandemic. And if you have a prime minister who seems to be saying it's, you know, quote-unquote, let the bodies top pile high, it was a work meeting, etc. You can understand the anger with people, and some, you know, and because it, you know, do what I say, not what I do.
Yeah, I can understand the anger, but you know, our backs were against the wall. The government had to act in whatever they thought was the best interest at the time. In hindsight, it was wrong, but at the time, that's what happened, and it brought us to where we are today, which is virtually COVID-free, having lost, sadly, so many people. I suffered very badly from COVID at the outset. I had it within the first couple of weeks, and I didn't think I was going to make it. It was horrendous, but you have to acknowledge the fact that the government did what they did at the time. Each government around the world acted in the way they did. It might have been wrong at the time, but it happened. Let's move on.
Yeah, the problem we had at the time is that the only model that we could look at was the Chinese model.
Yeah.
Nobody knew how to act, so we just followed blindly the Chinese model of lockdown, which here in the Western world didn't work. All governments made a lot of big mistakes, and that is something that... Of course, they didn't know that something like this would happen, and they didn't know how to act, and they follow a model thinking that that was the way forward. What is unacceptable is that in the case of Johnson, is that while he was giving all those orders to the population on how to behave and everything else, he was doing all the contrary and organising parties and everything else, because that is quite hurtful to the people you're... governing.
It's insensitive.
It's completely insensitive. So yeah. For that, he's paid the price of having to lose the job as Prime Minister. Does he have to go forward or has to be punished even more? I don't know. But I get the feeling that this, what's going to happen now is they're going to somehow whitewash what happened there. And on the other hand, it's a good thing that perhaps to leave it behind and move on and look at the future, like you just said.
Just want to bring a caller on. Morning, caller.
Quickly, on the subject of Boris, the interesting fact was that when there was I've forgotten what particular crisis it was in his government, the MPs went home and they did their constituency job, and they came back determined to get him out.
Mm.
Now that was quite staggering, because, and I'm sure it was they met what ordinary, normal, decent British people, however they were loyal Conservatives. They were disgusted by what had happened. I think it was probably I think it was Daily Mirror who publicised the Partygate photos or whatever. But it was some kind of particular scandal, and a party that was totally behind Boris because he was going to win them the next election came back, and they got him out. And I think the idea of, yes, let's just move on. I know that's
You're all there, Kate.
Sorry,
yes, all right.
It's normally a good idea, but somehow there is a time when someone needs to pay what the damage he's done.
Thank you. Thank you for the Thank you for the call in there. I'll let you go and have a lozenge or two. If you want to get involved with today's show, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
I can sympathise with Kate. I get sneezing fits on the radio, and there's nothing worse than knowing you're about to sneeze and or cough and trying to control what we call the fader. So anyway, there you go. Let's go to the WhatsApps just quickly before we come back. And Rex itching. Let's have a look at some of the WhatsApps. As I said before, so the UK Government Privileges Committee has to decide if Bozo broke the rules that Bozo himself initiated, and in some way we don't know what the rules were, even though he was fully responsible for the very existence of those same rules. Bozo's premiership is a broken premiership, tarnished by his persistent lies, corruption and sleaze, and now he's trying to do it all over again. For pity's sake, sack the bar steward once and for all. And as for his performance during the COVID emergency, his decisions are responsible for a UK death toll roughly twice as large as other European countries. His decisions are fully complicit with that shockingly high number of deaths. Meanwhile, this is coming in from Richard again. Bodger just started lying as soon as he came out of the womb, and he's still doing his Just William act from Eton. Rex thinks that we should move on and sweep it under the carpet like all those in denial, head in the sand. Live to the lines we go. One of the real morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles.
Good morning, Alf. How are you?
I'm okay.
Morning, Alf.
Hi, Rex. You okay? You? Good journey?
Yes, thank you. Very, very good. I will say, even though the flight was full, British Airways did us proud.
Right. That's the advertising thing.
I did know the purser. Right. It did help. Yeah, right. I knew the purser.
The purser, right. Yes. Okay, off we go. Right, Rex. Sorry, Alf.
Good morning to you and Giles as well.
Good morning. Good morning, Alf.
So, first off, when they did the police thing, because the media, they just can't help themselves. You know, I come on and knock the media. That's not you, Giles, because I don't class you as media. You're much higher and
thanks.
Above them.
Thank you for that.
Much higher and above them. But immediately they've turned on and said, they can't. Well, you've been in charge for 7 years, and you haven't done anything about the Met police, and you haven't done this, and you haven't done that. I was listening to Guy Burley having a go, and you think, what are you on? This is the guy that effectively got the last commissioner sacked, that's put in someone who should be doing a job. I agree with, you know, some of the things that they're coming out with are wrong, but you have to give these people a chance to try and change things. If you're going to turn this ship round in a river, it takes a lot of barges to move it. So, you know, give them a bit of a chance. I'd love to hear from John, actually, because with his police background, to see what he says. Because one of the parts of the report, which I totally disagree with, where they say if a police officer has been accused, not found guilty or anything, if a police officer has been accused of domestic violence at any stage on his record, i.e. someone's looked at it, then they should be sacked. And you go, why? That's wrong. So the Khan says they should be reinvestigated. And obviously the media come back, oh no, you know, the report says they should be sacked immediately. And I think, you know, you're going to have these twee differences between, you know, the person writing the report and what life is actually about. The second thing was with Kate talking about Boris and Boris this and Boris that and Boris this and Boris that. Well, what we all forget is Boris Johnson was the Prime Minister put there by the Tories, supported by the Tories, and because they had a majority. But everything they did, everything the Tories did, effectively was with the blessing of Parliament. Now, they can't sit back and say, oh, it was all his fault. yes, the parties and all that. But the Tories have come in and defended it. They say they're still defending him. Oh, they weren't really parties. They weren't this. They weren't that. When is it about time that people, well, I say this all the time, and Kate, you know, the Evening Standard did no more or no less. They just propped up and give him money and used what they did. And the Tories have it at every election, if you've never noticed, in the UK. Private companies have the big billboards and they release their space for that time in order for the Tories to put up their election posters. They did it from 92 was the biggest one, when they had the tax bombshell. Wherever you went, anywhere in the country, massive great poster with this bomb thing, a Labour tax bombshell. And you go, oh, that's what lost the election. Nothing, no one issue ever loses an election for anybody. And the problem we had at the time with Johnson and Livingstone in London wasn't whether Livingstone was good or bad. I mean, there was sufficiently enough Labour Party people. Remember, at one stage, he was the leader of London, not in the Labour Party. So you can't yeah. keep setting aside that thing. And the Labour Party at the time was in a complete mess. So, you know, 20 different things add up to, oh, you ain't going to do very well. Well, hopefully the Labour Party are getting themselves out of that. So, you know, people will believe whatever they want to believe in order to do things. And Rex, I'm surprised at you. You've been around as long as me. You live in London. You've been around the system a long time. And you say they used to be quite prevalent. This is the Masons. What do you mean used to be? They're still there. Nothing ever changed. The only thing that ever changed is that they pretended that to come out in the open. So, yes, you have your local Masonic meetings where they pretend to, you know, do charity fundraising. Yeah. Stuff.
Well, Alf, they've obviously become more secretive than they used to be.
No. That's not true. I can take you to three of their, whatever they call them, chapters or whatever, on the coast.
Lodges, they're called.
They're called lodges.
Lodges.
Yeah. Don't believe that the Masons have ever gone away. If anybody can do anything in order to secure something for themselves without going through the proper system, yeah. i.e. two people going for a job, this is what used to be in the councils.
Which yeah, but Alf, you've got to ask yourself, why are the Masons so prevalent in the police force?
Hang on, not singly. They were more prevalent in local councils. They were in the fire brigade. They were in the NHS. I dealt with these people. They used to pretend that they were managers in these organisations, and you knew they would select somebody for a job based on the silly handshake. You know, please stop saying that. Yeah. It's all in the past. It's not in the past. It's still prevalent today. I worked with a Labour councillor. I worked alongside, and I was part friends with a Labour councillor, and he was notoriously known for being a Freemason. That's a Labour councillor, and every job that went through the council went to, oh, lo and behold, there's a builder bloke here. Oh, we'll give him a job. Oh, why was that? Well, because he was a blinking Mason, that's why. And also, the last thing about defending them, Rex.
I'm not defending them.
The government did what it felt best. Yeah, I agree with you. But they knew at the time what they were doing was wrong. It's not something that they, oh, we did that because we were doing it for the best. And now we've reflected on it, we think we did the wrong thing. No, they knew with the PPE contracts. They knew with all the nonsense that was going on. They knew with the lockdowns. They knew exactly what they were doing. And they knew at the time they were wrong. They even admitted it at one stage with the PPE.
So I've got some more.
Stop defending them.
I've got some more calls coming in.
I ran over.
Thank you very much. Those blinking Masons, they get everywhere. Right then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Alf. That's good to hear you. Let me just put another caller on. Oh, no, the other caller is gone now. I'm going to get the Provincial Grand Master of Andalusia, and I think that'll be quite good. Go on, Alf, off you go. Rex, sorry. I'm just trying to get over the fact that I did some quite a few bits and pieces, and talking about the great sort of Jewish Masonic Bolshevik conspiracy in Spain in the 30s, and I'm still quite amazed that people come up going, it's the Masons again. But there you go. Right, live to the lines we go. 952-78-4000. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John.
Good morning, John. We were hoping you would call in. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Well, it was at the invitation of Alf.
Yes.
I wasn't going to, because there are so many different things that one could talk about today.
Yeah, indeed.
But just on the particular point that Alf raised, is that it's not, I left the police service 35 years ago. It was well established by then that if you were arrested, one of the best defences you had is to make a complaint against the officer. It didn't have to be true, but just make the complaint. And immediately you made the complaint. And if you were black or one of the ethnic minorities, that's an even better chance. The chances are the case would get thrown out or not prosecuted. So the fact that somebody has been accused of something, you can't suspend them, because otherwise, at the moment, they say there's 1,000 Met officers, I think, and staff. You're going to suspend 1,000 of them? But you've got to investigate. If you investigate and there's some evidence, then you suspend them while you carry on the process of the investigation. You don't do it just because someone's made an allegation.
Okay, thanks. Yep. And your thoughts on, I mean, you, having been involved in the police force, your thoughts in the in the report that's come out?
Well, one of the problems is that if this has all been going on, and I in my view, it wasn't in my day, because people in my position and even below my rank would actually do something to stop it. I mean, that's the incredible thing, that if this has gone on, I don't know why the people within the system who now complain about it didn't do that step forward and do something about it. I mean, I certainly did when I was in the police force on occasions when something came up which I saw that was incorrect. I stepped up and did something. But if you don't step up and do something, then okay. And just the other point is, yeah. Masons. Yeah, there were Masons in the police force when I was in it. And we weren't 100% aware of it. And then one time I got invited, would I join? I said, no, thanks. It never stopped me getting promoted in the order in which I assumed I should get promoted. So whilst they're in life generally, it didn't, at my time, it wasn't a big factor in the police service.
John, thank you very much for your calling. Okay. Going to take a short break and then we're going to be back with more Viewpoint.
Talk Radio Europe. Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. Let's see if you want to get involved with today's show, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And to the social media as we go. Good morning to the racer who says Teflon Tony pales into magnificence. That's Tony Blair. Teflon Tony pales into magnificence compared to bamboozling Boris. The government acted in its own interests and always will. Flip the little people, not the exact words. And also, here we go again. Grew up in South London in the 70s. Two friends joined the police. One immediately joined the Masons. Right. Meanwhile, looking at the WhatsApps coming in. They've polled a load of ignorant people. Sorry, that's something completely different. Dear Rex, Brexit hasn't been delivered as it is undeliverable in any shape or form. Enjoy your Irish passport. He did say this ship turned the ship around, but I know what you're saying. What could have John done to stop? This is the police force, and we're talking about Irish passports. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Panel, Rex, you were going to say something there.
Well, there's quite so many points were brought up.
I know.
I've tried to write them
it's
down.
It's sort of Rourke's drift of points, isn't it, basically?
It is. It's a checklist. I want to just get back in history just to... So we consider ourselves perhaps a little more fortunate. But if you think back in history after the First World War, then there was Spanish flu.
Yeah.
And what did that do? Imagine having suffered the First World War and all that it had done to the world, all the rotten, bad things that had happened.
Yeah.
And then the population was struck by this horrendous epidemic.
Just going to bring a caller in. You talk about history. We've got one of our historical correspondents in here. Morning to you, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. Is that the Alf Brewer show?
Yeah, no, it's not.
I don't know why the comment about Freemasons was made. It's completely irrelevant because most of these disciplinary things are at such a level that Freemasons don't abound. I've got some very good, very, very close friends in the Metropolitan Police.
Yeah.
And as they say, it's one of the best police forces in the world and one of the worst police forces in the world. The disciplinary offence is a committee at such a level that, and a very good friend of mine said, that if you want to get on in the police in most forces in the UK, is that above the rank of inspector, you have to join the Freemasons. That's right. Acknowledged as that. But I really can't see why that distraction thing was used. And it amazes me how someone like the Metropolitan Police can be tarred with one brush and yet other communities, ethnic communities, etc., can't be tarred with another brush. So I really don't understand the distractions on that. That's all, Giles.
Thank you, Gary. Good, and thanks for the poetry a little bit early today. But 52784000.
Andres. I just wanted to make a point with regards to the Metropolitan Police. I have no doubt that it's a very large force. There's a lot of people there, and I have no doubt that there are good people in there. What is not acceptable is these accusations of racism and so on keep appearing and appearing. This, as I said before, I've known this happening for years. In the 80s and 90s, you would hear accusations of the Met Police the bottom line is a large organization, and yes, you can have bad people in a large organization. That doesn't mean that the whole police force is bad. It's the same with the Catholic Church. You know, not every single priest is a child molester. It's a very large organization where these things happen, and when these things happen, they have been tackled and improved so they don't happen again. It doesn't appear that the Met Police are doing that. And it doesn't appear the Catholic Church are doing it either. But these are. But we have to understand that not every single person in an organization is bad just because there are some cases of bad things happening. That's the point I wanted to make.
Maybe years ago, we didn't know about it because it wasn't made. Well, it wasn't available. That sort of news was not available. It was probably hushed up. But, I mean, I remember as a child walking down the street, I remember being clipped around the ear by a policeman. We respected the police, and we called them sir in those days. And you have to, in all walks of life, if you want respect, you have to give respect. And whether or not things were covered up in the 70s and 80s, remains to be seen. But now we live in a much more open society and people tend to talk more and we have access to more information than we had years ago.
But we've known this, there were problems since 30 years ago in the Stephen Lawrence report that said that you know, the Metropolitan Police, let's just take one, was institutionally racist, their words. And yet here we are 30 years ago and it's saying it's also, you know, misogynistic. I can't say the word today. Misogynistic. So because in the shocking case of the Sarah Everard, you know, abduction, rape, and murder by a serving officer.
Well,
and you know, this is not, and also the heavy-handed response on the vigil that happened in Clapham Common after her death, going like, so you know, this is something that it's all very well to say there are bad apples in any, but they need to be seen to be doing something.
Well, you know that
exactly. That's the point that I wanted to make earlier. They need to do something because this is a reoccurring accusation, so there must be something in it, but then nobody's done anything about it because in these close-knit organisations, they cover each other. The same as I mentioned, again, the covering shows, I'm nothing against them, but it's again an organisation that is a close-knit organisation and they cover up for each other.
And you have to remember, there is no such thing as a bad soldier, only a bad officer. It starts from the top.
9527 84000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRA. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John again.
Yes, John.
Yes.
I don't know where this clipped around the ear comes from by the police. I was actually born in 1939. I grew up in Brixton, which was a pretty ordinary, shall we say, roughish area. I was in the police force from 1961 onwards. I never knew anyone before I joined the police or whilst I was in the police who got clipped around the ear. I mean, I don't know where this fallacy comes from.
Well, I've witnessed it, and where I was living as a child, that was the order of the day. And one had total respect for the police at all times.
Well, people had respect for the police when I was in the police force, because the police actually were able to do their job because the public respected them for their doing their job. Unfortunately, there's come about, I don't say conspiracy, because I hate to use that word, but it seems to be very popular now to take away the respect for all organisations, and eventually that brings about anarchy.
True.
It's unfortunate, but it's true. That's what's happening. You destroy the respect in law and order, and you destroy, anarchy comes about, and then a force comes along to save the people from the anarchy, and they take over.
Okay, he was serving officer in the 50s.
No, it's 1961.
He started.
I joined in 1961.
Okay.
And
I was talking about the 50s. Yeah, I was talking about the 50s.
Well, in the 50s, I was growing up in Brixton, which I say, and the Elephant and Castle area, which was a pretty rough area, and we got stopped and spoken to by the police.
But there was no clipping of ears, is what you're saying. This is one of these urban, you know, saying, oh, yeah, Bobby's on the beat, and, you know.
Yeah, and the other thing, I'll just bring this in. It's sort of relevant in some ways. But the problem is that, are the police racist? I don't know if they are or not. It seems the report says they are. But I can remember in the 90s, I think it was 1970s, when Stop and Search, there was an enormous fuss about the fact that police were stopping a number of people, black people, for potentially being muggers. The police officer in charge of Brixton Police Station at the time went into serious trouble over it. He released the figures, and it was something like 95% of all muggings were committed by a coloured youth on an old white lady, and about 2% were committed by a white person, and 3 they weren't sure about. And the reason why black people were getting stopped as suspects for mugging is because 95% of the muggings was being committed by them. We didn't stop black people for, like, white-collar crime, because they weren't doing that. We investigated them on another level. But the problem is, it's so easy to say the police are being racist because they're stopping this person or that person. And at the moment, it appears that most of the young people who get stabbed and killed in London are black people, and most of the people who do it are black people, but the police aren't allowed to stop black people because they say, no, that's racist. And this is the problem. Racism obviously is bad, but where does racism start and ordinary policing come in? And it's easy to criticise. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. I don't want to take over the programme.
Thank you very much for your call in there. Nicky Foote, thank you very much indeed. If you want to get your viewpoint across, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Some WhatsApps coming in. What is there to respect? A bent organisation that is racist, misogynistic and corrupt. The Elephant and Castle is still rough, by the way. This is according to Richard. Well, I mean, everywhere's being beautified. Up, oh, are we going live to the lines again? Morning, call you live from TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. Felix here.
Hello, Felix.
How are you doing? I'll start by mentioning 4 words to you and your panel. Heat waves, bushfires, storms, droughts. It's quite revealing that there's been about 20 or 30 people have rung in this morning, and Andrew Guest speaking, and not one has mentioned the critical report from the IPCC yesterday. This report has been different, Charles, from all others that I've experienced.
I I can hardly hear what you're saying, Felix. It seems very, very muffled as it is on the line.
Hold on. Any better?
Oh, that's better. Yeah, there we go.
Is that any better? Okay. Well, nobody has mentioned the IPCC report of yesterday, which basically lays down a certain basis of proceeding forward as a human race. The report stated that no more fossil fuel sources must be opened up, because we are already in great danger of surpassing 1.5. In fact, that's very conservative, because the IPCC is a branch of the United Nations, and the people who make up this IPCC have got to have the report passed by every country on a panel, as it were, every country, all the main countries in the world. And that immediately brings in a very conservative attitude towards the whole thing of global warming.
Right.
If they have got to pass it, and then the scientists pitch it at a very low level. But in fact, what I'm reading, and I read a lot, the situation is far more extreme, far more dangerous, as regards global warming, than anybody is aware. And just to give an example of the problem, I listened to the RT news headlines just before your program came on, and there were 7 or 8 items.
Yeah, the bongos are coming in, so that means we've come to the end of the first half of Viewpoint, Felix. But thank you for your call in. Right then, going to go to the National International News, and then we're back with more Viewpoint after the break.
Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Welcome back to the second half of Viewpoint. Always live, always lively. I'm joined in the studio by Andres Gallardo and Rex Leyland on one of his visits to Spain. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And let's look at the I don't even get time to actually look at some of the incoming emails, because I'm live on the line again. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles again. It's Alf.
Hello, Alf. Welcome back to your show, apparently.
I didn't want to put Felix off, because he's always right when he tries to raise the issue of global warming, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But as I've said in the past, people don't like talking about things that they have got no solutions for. So other than slagging off the governments for not doing enough, other than agreeing that it's an issue that really should have a lot of public awareness of, there's little or nothing you can do talking about it on a radio show. So no disrespect to Felix, I'm fully with him. I know that TRE and yourself have run special programs about global warming and issues like that, which is probably the best way to do it. So no disrespect, Felix, but it's not because people are ignoring it, it's because it's so difficult to get your head round. On the issue that John raised again, because he fascinates me, this John, because he usually comes in and defends the police, but I was with him, I agree with him. I said it myself, there's no way you can just sack a policeman because somebody's made a complaint about him. It has to be investigated, etc., etc. So that's one thing we agreed on. However, stop and search, the problem with stop and search, it wasn't just about Brixton, John, although you had a big black community. I come from Newham in East London, And we had lots and lots of ethnic non-Brits, but they weren't all black. But there was this issue that it was always the young black kids that were being pulled over. So I'll give you a little anecdote now. There's a black guy who works here. He's English, by the way. He's Zimbabwe by birth, but he's English by passport and British by all of his things. He comes and lives here, and the Spanish police, and they're no different anywhere in the world. Because he's black, he's the one who gets pulled over all the time. So much so that he doesn't get pulled over now because they just look in the wind. He's been pulled over that many times that all the local police know him. And they just wave him through.
Right.
So it did happen. It does happen. And we've got to be aware of it. And John's quite right. I do agree with him. It always came across that it was the black kids that were causing the problems. You know, when I left the East London part and came here, almost every stabbing that occurred around where I lived, and I lived in proper West Ham, almost every stabbing revolved certainly black youths, but nearly all black on black, black on Asian, Asian on black. So, and I you know, there is this instinct that says, if they don't stop and search, you'll never know whether somebody's got a knife, and you're never certain whether that knife is going to go and kill another kid, because there are that many of them. So it's genuinely an issue that we all need to deal with. But sometimes it's not about how they pull people over. It's what they say to them. It's how they deal with them. It's how they rough them up. You know, you can see it from what happens in America. You know, luckily, the police force in the UK don't get to that level. The last thing I want to talk about is the head teacher that killed herself.
Because it's the Ofcom report, yeah.
Absolutely, but it's not just the Ofcom report, it's the way it was done. You've got a school that's massively achieving, and in the report it runs down the leadership. So the school is achieving, but the leadership has got question marks. And you go, that is not, a school can't achieve if the leadership ain't achieving. But nevertheless, I'll tell you how stupid some of these things are. I was the chair of governors of my local primary school, and proud of the fact I did it for, ooh, I don't know, 10 or 12 years. And then they started doing these Ofsted inspections. So we had two or three of them, and it was always nitpicky stuff, but, you know, you just, yeah, we'll make improvements, we'll clean the floor. We had a flower bed that the kids used to look after. That was criticised because it wasn't tidy. And you go, nonsense. We used to have a caretaker cleaner, and he put a fish tank into the school hall for the kids to enjoy something different. You know, this is the East End of London, poor kids, nice fish tank, and right. He used to keep it. He went on holiday for 2 weeks. Whilst he was away in the second week, we had an Ofsted inspection. We failed our Ofsted inspection because there was three pieces of litter.
Really?
in the flower bed, and the fish tank hadn't been cleaned.
You see, there you go.
Well, you you wonder why. I mean, I'm fully agreement with this head teacher. What they do, they drag me as the chair. I get dragged into the council offices by some bloke who happened to be a Labour Party person who was chair of the Education Committee, who I know was a fouled teacher, to be lectured about why I hadn't done my job in making sure that he stopped after about 3 minutes. I just looked at him. That's all it needed. Don't you talk to me like that, sir. You know, see you are. But yeah, of course, I had to resign. We changed all the school governors. The next inspection come along. The cleaner was back. Oh, the fish tank has improved. You're out of special measures. What a pile of nonsense. And this head teacher has killed herself because of this nonsense. And we've said it for years, ever since they brought these stupid inspections in. Do it. And most of the inspectors fouled teachers. Can't cope in the classroom, so they make them inspectors to get them out of the classroom. That's one reason. Sack them. That's what I always go. I'm a union official. You can't do your job properly, get out of the way. You let somebody in who does. And what is it they say? Those who can do the job, do it. Those who can't, bully. And that's what they are, a bunch of stupid bullies who bring this on to people. They're just so, so wrong.
Alf, thanks for thanks for the call in there.
Oh, and to Rex, I forgot that. Top of the morning to you, sir.
My pleasure, Alf, as always, and the same to you.
Thanks for the call in there, Alf. 952-78-4000 is the phone number if you want to get involved with today's shows.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Back with Viewpoint, always live. Just looking at some of the main stories of the day today. In police in New York, Washington DC, and Los Angeles are preparing for potential arrest in case Donald Trump is arrested as part of a hush money investigation. In New York, all NYPD officers are expected to be in uniform and ready for deployment today, according to an internal memo shown to TNN. The broadcaster says a Manhattan prosecutor may charge Trump over claims that he paid Stormy, a porn star, to keep quiet about the affair they allegedly had. According to the Times, gun-toting supporters have been urged to protect Trump after he claimed he would be arrested today. As we know, we've already talked about the Met Police report and also Boris Johnson planning a comeback. A new poll has shown Tory gains. Labour's lead over the Tories is more than halved in the past week, according to a new poll reported in the Telegraph. A survey by Delta Poll found that Keir Starmer's party saw support fall by 5 points to 45%, whilst the Conservative rose to 35%, up 8 points. The study showed prominent coverage of Suella Braverman's Rwanda migrants plan and Jeremy Hunt's first budget. Lord Hayward, a Tory peer rightly regarded as an authority on elections, said Rishi Sunak may now be pulling the Tory party up. Meanwhile, Washington has urged the Chinese President Xi Jinping to call on Putin to stop his war crimes in Ukraine, as the two leaders prepare to meet again for official talks during the first visit to Moscow since the invasion of a Chinese official. The White House says it hopes that they will press President Putin to cease bombing Ukraine cities, hospitals and schools, to halt the war crimes and atrocities, to withdraw his troops. At yesterday's meeting between the two men. They describe Putin as his dear friend. And also, this one, a new study has found that being born into one of the wealthiest areas of the country in the UK adds an average of 12 years on your life. After analysing data from the Office for National Statistics, the campaign group Health Equals found that children in Hampstead, North London, can expect to live up to 88, whilst those in Glasgow have a life expectancy of 76. Revealing the startling regional disparities, they've warned that poor housing, substandard education, and poverty were cutting short millions of lives over a decade. And those are your headlines. Rex, you had an open mouth there.
Well, it's interesting, the living longer point is that I think a lot of it, not only where you live, but I think it's about what you eat. And I think diet has a lot to do with longevity. But of course, when you drive past McDonald's and you see that enormous queue at lunchtime, you realize that, of course, feeding at McDonald's is much more accessible to the masses because they don't charge very much for their product. And therefore, people eat a lot of junk food. And we all know that too much of that is not good for one's health. I don't really believe that living in Hampstead. I actually used to live in Hampstead.
Did you now?
When I first came to London, I was a student.
As far north as you go.
My parents did not trust me to live alone, so I had to live in a hostel, and I lived in Hampstead when I was 17 years of age, a long time ago. But no, it's I think longevity is lifestyle and diet.
And education. No, but you just,
and education, of course.
Because you just said, you know, and I'm a very good friend of mine, Lucy von Antal, runs a program up in Liverpool in the inner cities where they take, you know, vegetables and it's in the same way that you used to have mobile libraries back in the day.
Absolutely.
Now you really see, you woke up there. Yeah. The mobile libraries.
We had one.
She now has, they have a mobile greengrocers and they take, turnips and whatever else, seasonal produce from the UK, and they teach people to cook, because we have lost, or the UK has lost, the home economics classes, and therefore you have a generation of children who missed out in the 80s and 90s to be taught this stuff, and now they find themselves, and the reason they're going on, apart from persistent advertising for, you know, home delivery, bargain buckets, family deals, etc.,
and all that stuff,
whole thing, is the fact that they don't know how to physically prepare meal, you know, in the way that, you know, here in Spain, thankfully, we still pretty much, you know, you give a Spanish, MasterChef notwithstanding, which is all sort of very glamorous and sort of frou-frou food, in Spain they seem to be, there's a much more direct correlation between the, you know, what you eat, where it comes from, etc. Andres?
I agree with Rex that diet is an important factor in one's health, but it's also true that the knowledge of diet comes with education, and educations tend to be more prominent in wealthy areas. So it all comes down to education at the end of the day. The accessibility of junk food is far too easy for everyone. But I mean, if you look, I mean, I watch American TV sometimes, and you're watching a sports event on American TV, and the adverts would think are about trainers and t-shirts for running and everything. No, the buckets of chicken fried and the terrible food. So we are, unless you are well educated in the knowledge of diet and everything else, that means that you're very easily tempted to veer towards the junk food scenario.
Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, you know, Rich has come at the point, the UK has lost home economics classes, there's no end of cooking programs on the telly. That's not what we're talking about, because cooking programs don't actually say to you how to run a household, how to run a budget.
Cooking programs are entertainment.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like cooking, you like those programs because you are entertained for a while.
And it's cheap TV.
It's cheap TV.
But what's interesting, of course, is that the standard of food that's eating out generally, McDonald's aside, when you go to the pub,
or
you go to restaurants, certainly in the UK, the standards have really increased massively over the last 20 years, 25 years. Spain, Europe, always much higher, but not so high as they used to be. France, they talk about the French, there's a word that they use in France called passion, which is the passion of cooking and eating. And they say that passion has now disappeared. That's why the quality of food in France, and I was there recently, is, I think, poor. When you eat out, it's poor compared to what we get in the UK.
If you look at Spain, for instance, which is a country that produces so many vegetables and fruit and everything else, but now the younger generations are falling in line with the junk food in the rest of Europe and America and so on. So it's a trend that continues. I've mentioned, not in this program, but in Hannah's program a couple of times, my theory about food is, if it comes in a packet, don't eat it. So it has to be fresh, and it has to be, and there's plenty of fresh produce out there, and not necessarily, I know it's more expensive now, but not necessarily too expensive that you cannot afford it. But that is a motto that I try to stick to. If it comes in a packet, don't eat it.
952-784-4000. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Charles. Felix, sir.
Yes, Felix.
You're hearing me better now, yes?
Yes, I'm hearing you about fine, loud and clear.
Okay. Apologies to the listeners the last time. Okay. This issue of global warming.
Felix, we're not... But I know, right. But we're not talking about global warming, Felix.
Yeah. Why not?
Because, why not, because we're talking about something else. You always call in and you always want to talk about global warming. And we're talking about Diet, we're talking about Conservative Party, and talking about everything else. So
why not? Just answer me, why not?
Because we were, because you always call in and you always go on about global warming, okay?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No,
why? Right, I'm not having that today. I'm sorry. Right, Rex.
No, I mean, Felix ought to be aware that that until all of the world agree about global warming, and I mentioned particularly the Chinese, Brazil, India, Russia, until they all sign the accord and we have a world group effort to combat global warming, nothing will happen, sadly. That's my opinion.
Let me. Well, seeing that we've been forced to talk about global warming, I'll give you my view. We are. Global warming is not going to stop for the simple reason that none of us are prepared to change our lifestyles drastically enough to reverse it. In the Western world and in emerging economies and so on, none of us are going to give up the comfort of the consumption of energy and everything else to avoid global warming. So let's. I know these reports from the United Nations and everything else come out regularly, and we all agree in principle that yes, this needs to be done. But none of us are doing anything apart from one person who phoned last time who had a thinker in somewhere in Coin and had their own solar panels and everything. But that's one person. We all have to change the lifestyle, and we're not prepared to do it. No one is prepared to do it. So the thing will continue to happen and to deteriorate. So let's get used to it and deal with the deterioration, because we are all guilty of this situation that we find ourselves in.
95278 4000. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
The person who was last speaking, who said we're not prepared to change our lifestyle, is wrong. Most people I know drive less than they used to, and have adopted measures in their life that would reduce their global footprint, I think was the happy phrase for it before. Bouncing back to one of your comments, Boris. Boris and his cabinet keep flashing around the world in planes for questionable reasons, photo opportunities. The lady who's trying to ban, the Home Secretary, trying to ban people coming to Britain,
yeah,
and under any circumstances, I mean, that's the practical result, is happily jaunting off on a plane to Rwanda and taking selected journalists.
Yeah, of course. She wouldn't allow the BBC, she wouldn't allow the Guardian to go with her, because that's all part of her.
Right.
Her
Financial Times. I was proud of the Financial Times. I've always rated that one. Anyway, the people that she couldn't rely on having a good report, favourable report, weren't invited. This is a very nasty trend. People, Lineker talked about the Germany of the 1930s. Britain is turning that way because of a very bad exploitation of political power. One of the worst things that Boris did was to sanction the way of it had to be public, it had to be private to get any contracts,
right,
for the PPE.
Okay.
And a large amount of money was totally wasted, and a large number of people's lives were lost unnecessarily, because what Britain should have done, like every other country did, is use the established health services And they didn't. They have this ideology that you don't go for public services. People's lives were wasted.
We were the first country to inoculate most of the population.
Vaccinate. Whatever.
What is the difference between vaccination, inoculation?
There's a V.
And
immunisation. Another one. 952 78 4000. Viewpoint team, delivering the so-called Brexit would regulate the whole of the UK outside the public schoolboy millionaire city of London to the level of an impoverished third world island. Having a comfortable expat perch on the sunny part of the most successful free trade bloc in the world. Slightly ironic, two-faced, hypocritical. Okay. This in. My brother used to drive around in a Cavalier CDI. Police vehicle, my dad's... Oh, ex-police vehicle, my dad's car. He was always getting stopped by the police and given a producer, and then I can't be right. Anyway, South East London, Charlton. Learning to cook should be down to parents. Parents too busy these days. Both my parents taught us to cook. If you can feed yourself, you will not go hungry. Another one coming in. Stop driving. Driving less is not the solution. 952 78 4000. Back with more Viewpoint after this.
TRE Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And let's, we're back again. Right, I've been cleared up on this. Vaccinate is the most specific of the three terms because it specifically means to give someone a vaccine, which usually consists of a small amount of a killed, weakened, or otherwise modified version of a disease, such as a virus or bacterium. In the context of modern healthcare, inoculate is typically used interchangeably, though not as commonly, with vaccinate. More generally, inoculate means to implant a microorganism, such as a bacteria, virus, or amoeba, into an environment for research. Immunize is the most general of the three words and can just mean to grant immunity to a wide variety of things, not just diseases.
That's a good, yes. That's a good description. So of course, we all think back to smallpox when we all had to have vaccination smallpox, and we're actually injected with the smallpox.
What was the one with the sugar lump? What was that? Was that
polio?
That was polio, wasn't it?
Polio.
Yeah. Anyway, don't eat it if it comes in a packet and has ingredients written on it. There you go.
There you are. That's my theory.
That's your theory. And thank you, Cookie. A producer was when you had to go to the police station and produce your documents, talking about the person, because the thing was you get stopped by police and given a producer, so you had to go and show your documentation. So there you go.
In Spain, do you still, do you have any days of grace if you're stopped by the police, say when you're driving? Do you have to produce your license immediately, unlike the UK where you have 5 days to go to the police station with your documents?
Well, I drive so rarely because my car's so rarely on the road these days.
You have to have your license with you at the time you're stopped. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's no days of grace.
Yeah, otherwise it's a multa because, hey, fine. There's nothing like,
same with the papers of the car and everything else. So if they stop you, you have to be prepared to produce all the...
I have a duplicate. I carry a duplicate. I don't carry the real license because I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, well, you should have it, you have
got it, but it's a duplicate. Right,
anyway, so don't tell anybody what you're driving at the moment, Rex, okay? Just in case you get outside, they're waiting for you outside the studio.
Exactly.
As always. 952 78 4000. How was your Spanish... Was it Father's Day? Was it recently? Was it Father's Day?
Father's Day was last Sunday.
Yes.
But funnily enough, Father's Day...
This is the lead-in for you.
There's been a proposal from the far-left group, these pro-communist nutcases that are sharing our lovely government. They've come out...
Known as Podemos.
My good friends from Podemos and not... they've now want to get rid of Father's Day because they say it doesn't represent the modern family setup. So they want to create a new sort of non-binary, gender fluid celebration day.
Right.
So
how about that, John?
So a multi-parent day.
Yeah.
A multi-parent day. Yeah.
A fluid. Well, we've got to think about what we're calling. Do you want to take this call on the line? Morning, calling live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John.
Yes, John.
From Mijas. Okay, just on Rex's point, he seems surprised that in Spain you have to carry the license. From my experience, Britain is one of the few countries in the world where you don't have to carry it. Almost every country I've been to in the world or know of you have to have your license with you when you're behind the wheel.
Except for the UK.
Well, I said except for the UK.
I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Yeah, not this anything, but why I remember it from back to 1961, I don't know. The form the police give you is HORT1.
Yeah.
Why I remember that, I don't know. But yeah, that's the form.
Right.
But on that point, it was ridiculous because if a police officer stopped somebody, they didn't need any identification whatsoever. So you had no idea whether they'd stolen the car.
Mm-hmm.
It's a preposterous situation. And when I was a very junior officer, I stopped a young man driving his car, and he said, "Oh, it's my father's car and whatever. I'll produce my license." And when I got to the police station checked, it was a stolen car. And I felt really stupid,
yeah,
like having let somebody get off with it. But it's an impossibility in England to know who somebody is because they don't need any identification whatsoever. And just going back to the copy, in Spain, you are legally required to carry the original of the doc. If you're required to carry the document, it must be the original, not a copy certified by anybody, the original.
Just got a thing here coming in. Thanks for that. Got a thing. Spanish license holders. Thank you. Spanish license holders holding driving a Spanish registered car can show their license on the MIDGT app on their mobile telephone if they have it installed. So there you go. There's always an app. They do like an app in Spain. And so apparently this is Spanish license holders in a Spanish registered car, so you're exempt, Rex, and you should have license on the MIDGT app. Hey?
Just to add to that, if you're not in a car, you're a pedestrian, and the police stop you, you have to have your ID card with you to show who you are.
Yeah, but you're not that. But for Rex as a welcome visitor to these shores, surely he doesn't have to carry his passport on him at all times.
In theory, he should be carrying his passport at all times. In theory, whether
I have here. Look, two plastic.
Look and sound like
duplicates. Oh,
yes, okay.
Mini passport, mini driver's license.
Okay. Yeah.
But this brings us to the other, which I think is a really important point. Should ID be compulsory in the UK?
Mm.
Left over from the war, I think everybody...
show me your papers, etc. Life's the lines. I've got somebody who's going to talk... Yeah. I imagine they're going to talk about non-binary Father's Day. Morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's Mr. Muffled from Venus.
Yes.
How dare you, non-binary. I may be corrected on this, but there's a few people there a bit behind the times. I'm under the impression that you don't have to carry your driver's license in Spain anymore and produce it on the spot. That's something I've seen in the local media.
Ooh.
And also, everyone keeps saying you've got to carry your passport in Spain. The British government doesn't advise that. It actually states, and the Spanish, I've had this out with the Spanish police, you have to show identification. There's no specific comments about passport.
Right.
And, yes, John's beaten me to it about the haughty ones, etc., producers. And am I right in saying that Britain and Denmark are the only two countries in Europe... that you don't have to carry identification on you at any time above the age of 14.
That's all. So under 30s must carry ID at all times. Then carry. Yeah, I like that one.
That's all good news.
And also, I had a rather remarkable discussion with my son, which became heated.
Okay.
Talking, dare I say, climate change. Don't cut me off, Charles.
No.
Dare I say, climate change. But my son, the argument just went round. He said, but Dad, what of the future? And I said, what about the people that need to look their future as something like 2 or 3 days? Yes, but what about the future? I said, the future for most people on the planet is 2 or 3 days. And until we break that cycle... Because China and India, they're the ones that's catching up. They're the ones that want the fit. And Africa, obviously. They're the ones. Until we break that chain, then it's just all poppycock. Are we allowed to use the word poppycock?
You can use the word poppycock, Gary.
Right. I'm going to go off and, yeah, whatever.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that, Gary. Good to hear from you as well. There you go. 952-78-4000. Address.
My understanding has always been that you have to carry the driver license or an ID card. At all times, including for tourists to carry the passport. If that has changed, and I haven't been informed correctly, I do apologise. But my understanding is, yes, you have to.
And the last caller did make the point, until we get everybody on side for global warming, it ain't going to happen. And with regards to his son, I'm afraid it will be in his hands to change the world, but we more senior people, we will not be around, sadly, to see what does is going to happen.
This is coming saying yes, you should have ID cards in the UK. Everybody in Spain must carry government issued ID at all times, regardless of whether we are Spanish, an EU national, or a foreigner living or holidaying in the country. Well, so, there you go.
So your
tufty, your Green Cross code badge is not acceptable. Your tufty club membership from 1963 will not be. It's not legal currency. 952-78-4000. A quick break and then back with more Viewpoint.
This is TRE. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Into the last 14 minutes or so of Viewpoint, we're talking all things ideas. Funny how things get going on here. Here we go. A few bits and pieces. That's been deleted. Okay. Ignoring direct request. I must say, when Gary said he challenged a Spanish policeman about that, I thought, blimey, that's brave, because the last time I've challenged a Spanish policeman, well, let's not even go there. Anyway, ignoring a direct request or challenging a police officer may be viewed as disobedience, which is a criminal offence. In Spain, another one coming out. In Spain, everybody should carry a recognised photo ID. For those of us residents or with Spanish driving licence, that is not a problem. But for non-residents, the passport is virtually the only option, although notarised copies are also accepted. This is another one coming in. We senior people may not be around in the future, but you are here now, and now is when it's needed. That's for the change in climate. So there's no point saying, oh, well, it won't happen in our lifetime. Think about your children's Rex.
Yes, of course.
Exactly.
But until everybody is on side, it's not going to happen.
952-78-4000 is the address.
Yeah, that was my whole point. We all have to be on board with climate change, and we all have to change our lifestyles. And that makes there are very big changes. It's not only the car, it's the hot water, it's the energy consumption, it's the way we dress and we use clothing. It's just everything. Traveling, you know. I mean, how did you say you came from England? Do you came on a plane, or do you came, on a sail down the Atlantic? No, you came on a plane. Yeah. So you're not. We're not prepared to change our lifestyle. We're accustomed to certain lifestyle, and that's what's creating the footprint that is damaging the planet. And we all have to be, all of us, be on board, from the Chinese to the Spanish to the Americans to the Brits. Yeah. And until that happens, the climate will continue to deteriorate. And it's not for tomorrow. We're suffering the climate change now. Look at all the floodings and the droughts and everything else. It's the severe weather. It's happening now. It's not that it's going to happen in the future. You're not going to feel it. We're feeling it as we speak.
952-78-4000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Sorry about it. It's John yet again. On the point of view about complaining to the police, if the police are wrong, people should complain. And on at least 7 occasions when I worked with the police, I actually asked for the complaints book or forms on at least 7 occasions when people were like given wrong advice or being badly treated. And on every occasion, the problem disappeared. They put it right instantly. They didn't want a complaint against them in a complaint book. So don't be put off by the fact that if the police are wrong, be polite and complain.
Thank you for the call in there. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, morning, Giles. It's Sharon. Hi.
Good morning, Sharon.
Morning, everybody. Talking about the not everybody being on board at the same time. You're never going to get that. Loads of people, large swathes of the world's population are attempting to do something. With your defeatist attitude, we won't get anywhere. And one thing you lot could be doing down there is to stop the new builds. And the greedy developments that are continuing to go on. So I think there's something we can all do. If it's only recycle your rubbish as far as you can recycle it for. So a lame excuse, sorry, I won't, you need to realise that we can all do something, and to sit back in your armchair, relatively young age, you are all still relatively young. If the defeat is done, it's not going to work if we all carried on like that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Sharon. Good to hear from you, by the way. Stop the new builds. I mean, I can see that going. I can see real estate agents throwing their arms in the air going, oh, blimey, but we need more, because the air, you know, it's becoming more popular and it's more populist. And, you know, I was only casting my eyes towards the hills yesterday thinking, blimey, when I came in at 85, that was all virgin territory. And now it's 2,000 units, 3,000 units. Is Spain getting overdeveloped? Probably correct, you know.
Well, we chatted about this before we came on air. And when I first came to the coast in the 60s, of course, it was a completely different landscape. And even driving today to the studio along the main carretera, I noticed buildings had disappeared and new ones had gone up. And the building is unbelievable. And the coast, of course, is very, very much busier than it was in the 70s when it was cowboy country.
We're talking about overdevelopment. That's going to have our environmental impact, more people coming, bigger energy needs, etc.
It's the same in the UK. People forget. I mean, these blocks of flats are going up, and where's the water going to come from? You know, we don't have enough water. How could they build when there's not enough water to go around?
There's
hundreds and hundreds of flats. Everybody has to shower. Everybody has to use the loo. Where's the water coming from?
There is a simple explanation to that. It's we are in an economy of supply and demand. If there is demand for housing in an area, the houses will go up.
But what cost to future generations, Andreas?
That's where the administrations and the local governments have to balance what cannot be done. It's not only the water issue, which luckily down here we seem to, you know, we haven't had a problem for many, many years, but I mean, that doesn't mean that in the future we may have a problem with water, but there are other infrastructures to take into account. Like the roads, for instance, in this particular part of the coast, we have one road to take us everywhere. Mm. And that gets, the amount of infrastructures that we have, the question is, can they support the amount of building that's going on?
I think the answer is pretty much no at the moment, to be honest with you.
But demand is there.
Yeah.
And while
demand for housing,
the demand for housing is there, and all these new builds that you see springing all around, they're all sold. So that means that people want to come here. What the administration should be doing with all the money they're making from these builders and from these people buying is to accommodate the circuit and the infrastructures, so we can have a normal sort of life, and accommodate all these people that want to be here.
952-784-1000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, hi. My name's Paul. I sometimes slip between Crosby and Chiclana della Frontera,
yeah.
Which is where I currently am. It's Rex. He sounds a lovely bloke, but the first few comments on the show today about how moving on and just, you know, all governments made mistakes and everything. I can't help feeling that there's a lot of people who want accountability. Hunt, when he was health secretary, one of the first things he did was cut on stuff like stop replenishing the stockpiles for PPE. We had a world-leading pandemic plan, but we couldn't enact it simply because we didn't have PPE. So then they started giving us mixed messages about it's not airborne transmissible, it's cleaning surfaces and stuff. So I think there's... And then we also had the PPE contracts where we had known processes, procurement processes. And what that happened then is all the Tory mates got all the contracts. And I think we need a full accountability, a full audit of what's gone on, just so future governments can't do the same again. Mm. And that's it, really.
Thank you for your call in there. Absolutely. I mean, the whole thing with PPE. And the way they're saying, oh, well, we were in a crisis, it was a pandemic, we had to give those contracts out because it was a life or death situation.
it's true. And they're not knocking that. It's the fact that they gave the contracts to their mates.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you for your call in. Good to hear from you. 952-784-1000. As always in the last 5 minutes, the phones have gone. It's a sort of tradition of Viewpoint. It's like the cavalry charge at Balaclava. Morning, caller, you're live at TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Fraser. Just a thought. Have you noticed every time there's a Lidl or an Aldi built, there's a roundabout appears that's paid for by the people that put the Lidl or the Aldi?
Don't talk to me about the roundabouts.
Surely they could make something like that, where if you build a block of apartments, you have to contribute to something that's going to benefit the water.
They do in the UK.
They do here.
They have to contribute.
And they do here.
There you go.
Yeah, if you look at the building that behind the Mercadona next to your radio station, Giles.
My personal radio station.
The park behind, the children's park and all that green zone, that was a part of, it was a condition of the license to be able to build those apartments, that the developer would develop that particular park. So they're more and more
that
coming.
Doesn't help the roads or the water, does it?
But what I'm trying to say is that more and more the administrations hopefully will be thinking of the infrastructures and pushing the developers to contribute towards those infrastructures, because that's the way forward.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for that call in. Good to hear from you, Teresa, as always. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, good morning, Giles. It's David from Benall Madden.
Good morning, David.
Hi there. You guys, you talk about the development of this coast. I've been here for almost 50 years, so I understand what you're talking about. And of course, there's been development. But in reality, sitting on the ground where most listeners and you guys do, and looking at the building going on around you, you don't see very much. You can see maybe, I don't know, the best half a kilometre, and you think it's well built up. Well, I'm a pilot and I fly over this coast regularly, and there's a mere sprinkling of properties along the coastline inland, and in fact we're talking maybe in, I don't know, maybe 5 kilometres from the seashore. There's nothing. There's the odd house dotted everywhere. There's so much more than one can build here without it getting anything that you would consider to be called overbuilt. So there's no real problem. Water is a water problem, and most of it is now not from wells which are dry. My own personal wells are dry, and they're in Benall Madena. But it's all recovered from seawater now through the reverse osmosis, and apparently there's an abundant supply of it. The system works very well, and that's what feeds the entire coast with its fresh water, which of course is extremely good quality, but it's very fine. As for England, just to finalise with that, I think one of you guys had mentioned the problem in England about water to feed these blocks of apartments they constantly build. Well, there's no hope for that country, really, because it's a wet country, it rains constantly, the water level under the underground is very near the surface, certainly within 20 feet in most places, yet they prohibit the drilling of small wells. I just don't understand that country at all. So that's my chip in for today.
Thank you very much for the call in there. The background noise makes it sound like you're actually flying a jet at the moment, David.
I thought he was in the air.
Yes. And he's obviously gone. Right then, there you go then.
Yes, it's true. The problem with the water is that the water companies are privately owned, and they have to return to divvies to the shareholders. Yeah. And in London, we have an awful sewage problem, and I live on the river, and we have the misfortune of seeing live effluent floating down the river. And in fact, as I say to the local paddleboard club, you can't go swimming in the Thames, you can only go through the motions.
Right, oh, blimey. Right then, with respect, thank you. With respect, Alf doesn't know what you're talking about. Heads department, who, with 2 Ofsted inspections in a well-organised, excellent church, comprehensive, and in a struggling care sector, comprehensive, I can say that the inspection process is grueling but fair, and the inspectors are wise animals with plenty of past hands-on experience in the classroom. What is detrimental, pointless, is the exam school league table, the constant testing and training children for tests and the lack of money and 2 large class sizes. All right then, almost out of time. It's been my pleasure and my privilege. My thanks to my guest, Andres Gallardo.
Thank you, John.
And of course, live in the flesh. and worth the value. Rex Leyland, Rex, great to have you with us.
Giles, thank you. It's always a pleasure. Always.
This show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Thank you for all the calls in, and Stephen Ritson is up next.
Views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.